WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Tuesday morning. And it's time for our monthly check-in with Rosemary Gill, president and CEO of the Zeitarian Performing Arts Center, to find out about all of the work being done over there and the great events they have coming up. Good morning, Rosemary. How are you today?
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And I know it's a little damp and rainy out there today, but you've got some bright and sunny and fun events coming up, and as well as a very important observation coming up as well.
We do. Thank you. Right out of the gate, this Saturday, June 14th, is a program that we are doing collaboratively with the New Bedford Historical Society and the New Bedford Symphony Orchestra. It's called Lift Us Up. It's Saturday, June 14th. It's free. It's at Abolition Row Park, beautiful location. If it rains, which unfortunately I think there's a little bit of that in the forecast, we do have a rain location at Gallery X on William Street. And this is kind of the second installment of this program. We did one last year. Oh, by the way, it's from 1 to 2:30 p.m. And this is where we celebrate and affirm kind of the humanity and how throughout history Black people have used art to speak out against injustice, affirm their own humanity. And we're using, as I mentioned, we are collaborating with the Symphony and New Bedford Historical Society, and we're using some of the most wonderful local Black creatives, Eva Brito, Maya Livermento, Gabrielle Johnson, and then also Hendrick Hernandez Resto, as they're highlighting their spoken word. And then New Bedford Symphony Orchestra will have, I believe, a quartet or a quintet on hand. And together, they all created a beautiful program, along with Malian drummer Siddy Mayega. And it's really just a wonderful program right in, and if you haven't been to Abolition Row Park on Spring Street in New Bedford, it's just a wonderful little park right smack dab in the middle of downtown New Bedford. And it's a great program, so we hope folks will come out. You can go to our website to get more information. We're requesting that if you do plan to attend, that you RSVP, although that's not necessary. We just would like to know how many folks we can expect. So that's this Saturday, June 14th from 1 to 2:30.
And that's going to be a fantastic event. And of course, an observation of Juneteenth. And as you mentioned, you know, the fact that the Black community has made great contributions to the arts here, not only locally, but nationally as well. And it's one of those things that it's kind of unfortunate that we have to wait for a celebration like Juneteenth to be able to put a focus on that. It should be something that we're celebrating all the time.
Sure. And we do. We certainly try to do that. But yes, and New Bedford's community has made, you know, the Cape Verdean and the Black community within New Bedford have made incredible, you know, they've certainly left their mark on New Bedford's history. And we can, you know, we can look all over New Bedford and see that. So we are thrilled to be able to be part of this collaboration and support Juneteenth celebrations.
And these artists aren't just, you know, sharing poetry and music and creativity based on things of the past either, but also some of the current struggles as well.
Oh, most certainly. Yes. Very current.
So it's going to be a mixture of kind of, you know, where the country has been and where the country is right now. So that should be a very important and powerful event happening Saturday from 1 to 2:30. And then next week, it's going to be a little bit of a different tone. It's going to be more of a big party.
It is. Next Wednesday, June 18th, from 6 to 10, we are We are holding a wonderful dance party. It's called Raise the Roof. And this is where we're raising funds to restore the Z. As everyone knows, I hope everyone knows, we have embarked on an incredible restoration and renovation of the Zeiterion Performing Arts Center. And this is our way, or one of the ways that we are embarking on closing the gap. We have about a $2.6 million gap left of a $37 million project. I'm pleased to say that we've secured over $34 million for this initiative. It's really been an incredible journey where we've had such support from the community to get where we are. And so it's actually a celebration, too, of kind of where we are and how we can kind of fill that gap. And this is at Cisco Brewery. And we'll have a wonderful music and entertainment and dancing and, you know, East Coast Soul will be there. And if you've not seen them, they are just a really great funk rock R&B band that'll just have everybody on their feet. We'll have a performance of wonderful Ariel-licious entertainment. She does a hula hoop performance. We'll have a beautiful live Zeiterion muse. Mentalist John Stetson will be there. Lollipop Lyra will be another Ariel-ist performance, along with a disco ball dancer. So lots of really great fun things, as well as, you know, just being at Cisco Brewery is a lot of fun. And this is for everyone in the family. It's family friendly. Children under 12 are free. Tickets begin at, we're asking for a donation of $25 as a minimum. But of course, we'll accept donations of all amounts.
Well, I was going to say, and as you mentioned, you know, it is for everybody, not only for all ages, but it seems like also for all kinds of, you know, musical tastes and dance abilities. So you don't have to worry if you're not the best dancer in the world, because it's just about having fun.
It is. And we'll also have some auction items that that are going live in the, I think, a couple of days. And we'll be auctioning off things like hard hat tours of the theater right now, which is just incredible to see the progress and the construction happening in the theater. A ceiling tour, which is where there are, I think I've mentioned before here, they've constructed scaffolding from wall to wall within the auditorium of the theater, and created this, what they call a dance floor at the top of the theater, so that the historic painters and plasterers can do their work, which most of it is happening at the level of the ceiling. So we're offering a tour where you can actually climb up there and be on the ceiling and see this. And it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. There'll never be another chance of this for another 100 years. In addition, we have season tickets for next year's performances. You can bid on having a party in some of the new spaces that this renovation is creating. And actually, bidding begins June 16th, and you don't need to attend the Raise the Roof party to attend, but of course we hope you do. There'll be a free shuttle from the DeMello building in downtown New Bedford to the Raise the Roof dance party, and that'll be happening throughout the evening. There is parking at Cisco, but that, of course, is limited. And so if folks choose to use the shuttle, and we hope they do, they can do that.
So should they park in the Zeiterion garage and the DeMello parking lot? Where should they park if they're going to take the shuttle?
They can park in the Zeiterion parking garage. That's the best bet. But there might be parking right on site at the DeMello building.
And of course, all of this, as you mentioned, is helping to fund with these renovations. How are those coming along?
They're unbelievable. It's really incredible. I mentioned the scaffolding that's happening and the historic painting and restoration of the plaster that's happening in the theater. They are planning on coming kind of down the walls soon. So all of this is happening on the ceiling right now, including some of the murals that you see on the ceiling and the beautiful dome over the Czechoslovakian chandelier. But in a couple of weeks, they'll start removing some of that scaffolding and start coming down the walls of the theater. They're already beginning the work of running all of the wires and the cabling that's required within the auditorium for sound and lighting and video components so that the theater is brought up to kind of state of the art for all of that. In the front of house, work is continuing in the theater lobby and in the historic lobby and the upper lobby and the beautiful stairs, the grand staircase that will be going up to the second floor lounge. And work on the second floor lounge and office spaces is continuing. They've already completed most of the sheetrocking and some of the painting. They'll be soon they'll be installing the historic windows on the facade of the building, which will be such an improvement to the look from the street level. On the third floor, they're doing the work there in the third floor movement studio and education spaces. And eventually, of course, we'll be bringing back the marquee on the exterior of the building. So it is just incredible to see this amazing progress and to see this building come to life.
And just to go back to the work you were talking about, they're doing inside the theater itself on the walls and the ceiling. You know, just so people understand, we're not talking about taking a paintbrush and sloshing it across the whole floor or a roller or something across the whole ceiling. We're talking about very minute and detailed work.
Yes, it's incredibly lovingly restored and detailed work by trained historic paint specialists. And they are up there in some cases with very small paintbrushes. They're actually using gold leaf. We discovered that some of the features on the ceiling and on the walls were actually gold leaf. So we're restoring all of that. In the case of some of the plaster, some of that was done with molds, but some of that was all done by hand. And they're replicating all of that as well. And we've received a great deal of money from the historic tax credit program, and that's helping us do this beautiful work in restoring the building to what it would have looked like in 1923.
So, and as they're doing this work, are they kind of advising you or kind of crafting a way where this can be kept up with over the years instead of having to wait for another major renovation to be able to do it?
Oh, yeah. So they're doing this, you know, as I mentioned, following historic, with what would have happened, what it would have looked like back then. But they're using modern elements that can withstand time. Although a lot of the features that they used and the components that they used at that time did withstand time for a long, long, for decades. So it's a combination of the tried and true methods, as well as some of the new types of paints and glazes that will stand the test of time, as I mentioned.
That's amazing. And I heard you mention to Jim on Town Square Sunday that you're looking at possibly getting into the building in December and being able to have some kind of soft opening events for people to come in and see before, you know, the launch of the next season and slate of shows.
That's our hope, for sure. Right now we are scheduled, they're scheduled to complete the construction somewhere around the end of November. We'll have to do a lot of work bringing things back into the building. It took us months and months and months to empty the building because we had to completely empty the building. And all of those things are in a combination of either short-term or long-term storage. And we'll have to do the work of bringing that in and getting the building ready and training folks on all of the new features that, I mentioned, all of the new audio and visual and sound equipment And then just, you know, logistically, how will we move 1,200 people throughout that building? So we'll be training folks on all of that. And then and we'll probably be asking the community to come in on these little soft openings to help us do some of that training, with the notion that by January we'll be ready to go with, you know, the big programs and some of the smaller programs that we're really looking forward to bringing to the community.
Excellent. Well, we are looking forward to what it'll finally look like, but we appreciate you coming in each month and giving us some updates, and we look forward to talking with you next month and finding out how much further along we are.
Yeah, Tim, and one last thing. I talk about what we plan on bringing, but we're also very, very interested in how the community and some of the local artists and business community, et cetera, how they imagine this the building and some of the new spaces being a part of their life or a part of their work. So we're going to have all kinds of events where we invite them in to give us their ideas and imagine, you know, because there are so many opportunities for them to use and rent some of these new spaces. So we're looking forward to that as well.
Oh, I'm turning 50 in a couple of years, and I'm thinking about having a 50th birthday party at the Speakeasy, because why not?
That is perfect. That's great.
And of course, everybody can follow along with everything at Zeitarian.org.
Yes. Thank you so much, Tim. Have a wonderful day.
You as well. And that is Rosemary Gildy, President and CEO of the Zeitarian Performing Arts Center. We've got to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. 508-996-0500.
RFK Jr. making cuts at the CDC. Teens up late may act more impulsively. And record spending predicted for Father's Day.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. removing all 17 members of a panel that advises the CDC on vaccines.
In an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal Monday, Kennedy wrote, "A clean sweep is needed to reestablish public confidence in vaccine science." Kennedy was a vaccine skeptic prior to becoming the Health and Human Services Secretary. He since softened his stance, saying if a parent desires their child to be vaccinated, their decision should be based on informed consent through a doctor. I'm Brian Shook.
More children are dying as some states have allowed looser firearms laws. According to a new study published in JAMA Pediatrics, researchers estimate more than 6,000 deaths happened in states with the most permissive gun laws, while another 1,400 occurred in states that made up their laws more permissive but were not in the most extreme group. The study also found California, New York, Maryland, and Rhode Island, all of which had strict laws, saw significant drops in pediatric gun deaths. A teen fired a gun found in a Georgia Wendy's that was accidentally left by a visiting Texas sheriff.
An unsecured gun left behind by Grayson County, Texas Sheriff Tony Benny in a Wendy's bathroom in Covington, Georgia, was found and accidentally discharged by a 15-year-old. The sheriff had removed his holstered firearm while in the restroom with his grandson and forgot to retrieve it before leaving. Newton County's DA office decided that no criminal intent or criminal negligence took place. Neither Benny nor the unrelated 15-year-old will face any charges. I'm Thomas Cage.
Researchers out of UCLA have invented a pen that can detect Parkinson's disease with high accuracy. A pilot study in the journal Nature Chemical Engineering unveiled the device that looks close to normal pen. The pen is able to pick up on small dysfunctions by observing how people write before it can be noticed visually. Researchers say it's 96% accurate and available at a low cost. Funk rock pioneer Sly Stone has died at the age of 82. His family says Stone passed away peacefully, surrounded by his children, after a long battle with COPD. Stone fronted the group Sly and the Family Stone, who had hits like Family Affair and Everyday People. The statement said while they mourn his absence, they take solace knowing his musical legacy will continue to inspire generations to come. A new study suggests teen night owls may be more impulsively self-destructive. Here's Mark Mayfield.
Researchers used data from 210 teenagers who completed questionnaires to measure their impulsivity and sleep patterns. The teens also provided saliva samples and wore a sleep tracking device. The study found that teens who liked to stay up late were more likely to act impulsively when experiencing negative emotions. Researchers say parents may be able to help their teens by encouraging normal sleep hours. I'm Mark Mayfield.
People are expected to spend $24 billion this year for Father's Day. That would be a record amount, according to the National Retail Federation, up more than 7% from last year. Three out of every four people surveyed said they plan to celebrate the event in some way this year. It's on June 15th, Sunday. Average spending just under $200.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox lost to the Rays at Fenway last night in 11 innings, 10-8. Both teams back at it tonight at 7:10.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Patchy fog around, temperatures in the mid and upper 50s, not too far from average, but we're below average this afternoon, with temperatures largely around 70 degrees, if not a little bit cooler, in the mid 60s for the coast. Now the bigger issue is that as we head through the late morning and early afternoon, not only will we see a couple of showers, but some areas of heavy rain and even a thunderstorm or two. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBS.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Welcome back in. You can keep your "I just called to say I love you." I'll take part-time lover any day for my 80s Stevie Wonder playlist. Anyway, 508-996-0500. That is the number to call in and chime in. We've been talking about a lot of different things today, but I've got an interesting story I'm going to bring up to you from Pawtucket. Before I do that, though, it's a good day to go out and get yourself some lunch, right? A nice hot lunch, maybe some brisket chili, maybe a nice burger and beer, something to kind of shake off some of this cold. I know. Can you believe? It's actually just about mid-June already. And here we are dealing with 62 degrees and damp weather. So why not treat yourself to some lunch at Brack's Grill and Tap? Their lunch value menu is just $12.99 Monday through Friday. You can grab a half pizza and salad combo, the Saucy Bird chicken sandwich, where you can pick from a variety of sauces for your chicken, their pasta of the day. I mentioned the brisket chili, but how about some Portuguese kale soup or their classic clam chowder? They even have chicken and waffles, barbecue turkey tips, and a kids menu too. So check out Brack's Grill and Tap in Taunton and Brockton, and check out Brack's Tavern in Middleborough. You can find out more at BrackGrillAndTap.com, but I would recommend following all three on Facebook because they always post up great specials, special events that are happening, and pictures of their amazing food. So check them out, BrackGrillAndTap.com and Brack's Grill and Tap Facebook page for Taunton and Brockton and Brack's Tavern in Middleborough. So I mentioned this story out of Pawtucket, and there was a man who was shot by a police officer on Sunday after he had a gun that he was pointing at himself and others. So police arrived on the scene. They saw what was going on. And they said, you know, the officer told them to put the gun down. He didn't comply. and they ended up shooting the suspect once in the shoulder. He's identified as Sebastian Yadana, and he was shot once on the shoulder, taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. And so now he is facing charges, but they tested the gun to see if it, to determine if it fires projectiles. This comes from ABC6. And on Monday, police said the gun appears to be a plastic replica of a rifle. And now officials are saying it was indeed a plastic replica gun. Now, as the police chief, Tina Gonsalves, said, the officers are trained, but to make determination whether a gun is a toy gun or not a toy gun when they arrive on the scene is a very difficult determination. That would be the officer's discretion, what he saw and his perception was when he arrived. Now, the officer who shot the man has been placed on administrative leave as per protocol, and police said that they will release his name this week. The officer's name. But I don't think anybody faults the officer for this. So apparently the gun, from what was being reported the other day, had an orange tip on the end of it. But when you are a police officer and you're seeing someone point a gun at themselves and at others, including probably you, you know, you're not looking to see, is there an orange tip? You're telling them to put the firearm down. And if they're not putting the firearm down, you have to take action. And in this case, the officer, in my opinion, should be commended for only shooting the man in the shoulder and not firing a fatal shot. I mean, can you imagine standing there having somebody pointing a gun at you or at others, and you've got to figure out, well, I mean, it kind of looks like that could be orange on the end of it. Like, you're not sitting there thinking about all of that. You're thinking about disarming the suspect and keeping everybody safe. And this Sebastian Yadana, he knew what he was doing when he picked up a fire, even if it's a plastic firearm, but he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was risking. And too often in many of these cases, you're dealing with people who want to get shot by a police officer. They're looking to get shot and killed. So whatever was going on in his mind, he had to have known what the outcome could be. So I understand, of course, the investigation has to play itself out, and they have to go through all these protocols, but I don't think the officer did anything wrong in this case. I think they did what any reasonable person would expect them to do in that situation, which is disarm the suspect and then figure out later whether or not it was a real gun. That's the risk that someone takes when they pick up a fake gun and act as if they're going to shoot somebody with it. 508-996-0500, app chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. A reminder, if you have not yet entered our contest to win James Blunt tickets to see James Blunt at MGM Music Hall at Fenway next week, well, I would recommend jumping on WBSM.com or the WBSM app and entering ASAP. Tomorrow is the final day for that contest, actually, because we've got a couple of shows that we're going to give away tickets to next week. So we've got that for you today and tomorrow. And then we're going to move on to the next show Thursday and Friday. So you want to make sure that you get, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, which is, it'll be after the show Wednesday. So you want to make sure, if you want to win those James Blunt tickets, you get your name in. That's brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. Let's take a phone call here. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, Tim. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, I just wanted to highlight the conversation that you had regarding the Pawtucket police officer and what happened. I just want to highlight, it just kind of goes to show, this area, this country, we are in desperate need of mental health services. Mm-hmm. The wait time right now to get a therapist, you're talking about 6 weeks plus at the minimum, and that makes absolutely no sense. And you saw it with people in the military coming home from war, and you're seeing it as a result of COVID. The world's a mess, man. Like, we are in desperate need of more resources, more funding for mental health services across the board, across the country. So, you know, we see the headlines and we jump to, was the cop right? Was he? That shouldn't even be a question. What we need to highlight, excuse me, is the fact of the need for mental health services, especially when men, you know, men right now are struggling, and you know, it's that machismo thing, and they're kind of reluctant to reach out for help. And there's help out there. You know, there is help out there. You got to fight for it. You got to chase it. And, you know, you got to advocate. You got to advocate for the help, because people need it.
And right. And this is Men's Mental Health Awareness Month, too. So, you know, this even highlights it even more. But, you know, one of the problems is you could have all the therapists in the world ready to go and take somebody in right away. But also, it's not like you go to one session either and all of a sudden you're cured. The other problem is you got to have insurance companies that are willing to give more on the mental health end of things than they are. You know, right now they might pay for one session a week or one session a month. And some people need it a lot more than that.
Yeah, but there's people out there. Like, I agree 100%. Insurances are a big problem. But there's people out there. There's people out there that are willing to give their time, willing to talk. You have to reach out, you know? It's funny. It's like that oxymoron. It's like June being Men's Mental Health Month, but yet men don't talk about it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's one of those things. It's a societal problem. A lot of men struggle daily, and just got to put yourself out there, man. There's plenty of people that want to speak. There's plenty of people that will lend you an ear, but you got to ask for the help. And that's, at the end of the day, it's all about communication across the board with everything that we do.
Absolutely. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, you got it.
Have a good day. We got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. Stay tuned. You know, a fun story about that song. It wasn't originally about a Steel Town girl on a Saturday night. No, that song was originally not supposed to be on the Flashdance soundtrack. Michael Cimbello did not write that to be the song from Flashdance. He wrote that song about a serial killer. That's what the idea of it was originally. He's a maniac, and it was about a guy going around killing people. But they needed a song for Flashdance, and I guess this ended up fitting the bill, so they changed a few of the lyrics, and there you go. But, I mean, you kind of listen to it and you're like, wait a minute. When you tell me that, it makes more sense that way, because you hear like that, ding, 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 ding. It's kind of like that, you know, Halloween John Carpenter kind of vibe, that that psycho. Jason, you know, the Jason Voorhees music too is a kind of it's a bit of all that kind of combined together. So I'd like to sing it with the original lyrics. I wish I could find all the original lyrics. I'm sure they're online, but that's better. That's a better song in my mind. Not that Flashdance is bad. Although years ago I watched, what was it, Pop-Up Video, and they showed What a Feeling, and they showed in the video like where you can tell that it's not Irene Cara. That's a singer. Jennifer Beals dancing. And you can see like, and here's the guy that did the dancing. See, you can see his mustache. I'm like, no, you just ruined the whole movie for me. You ruined the whole movie. You know how many 8-year-old boys were all about Flashdance back in the day, and you just ruined it for me. Anyway, well, I've got to take my final break here and get that done. We'll be back in a few moments.